Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like,
hey, sis. Hello, hello, hello. Fabi Fav here. I'm back, bitches. Okay, so I've been gone for a while. I haven't really recorded anything new for Latinos Who Lunch in a long time. Actually, that's a lie. Last week's episode with Jose Villalobos was recorded the week before it came out because I've been so busy traveling, doing installations all over. I was in Austin a couple weeks ago doing a big install for Fusebox Festival. Shout out to them. We did a couple live episodes, one at UT and then one at the Fusebox Festival. Hopefully we have some audio from that so we can send it out as an episode in the future. I'll get back to you on that. And then before that, I had a big show called Sorry for the Mess with artist Ramiro Gomez. And that opened. There's just been a lot, y'all. And, you know, I went to Reno and I went to Denver. And shout out to all our listeners out there. You know, every time I visit, y'all are like Jesus at Oprah's Legends Ball. Our listeners always show up and show out. And a big, big thank you to everybody that has come out to our live shows. A lot of you have become good friends over the last couple of years. A lot of listeners that I run into on the road. And for those of you that I just met, I mean, your love and support really does keep me going. So I just want to take this moment to thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. Okay. So let's get to this week. This week, I bring you a special interview I did with my dear friend, Natalie Farfan, now also known as Nat from the podcast Morado Lens. If you go back to our archives, go back to August 24th, 2017, we put out a bonus episode of us on Morado Lens, right? So anyway, once you catch up on that, come back to this episode. Last fall, I was doing a big installation in New York, and during my breaks, I would sit down and interview people, and that's when Nat stopped by the studio, and she, which was a janitor's closet, and she took the time to talk to me a little bit about her life, her podcast, her project, La Brujas Club, and much more. So we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, you will hear my conversation with the HBIC, the head bruja in charge, Natalie Farfan. Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacán. Now, if you're in Las Vegas, you know the original Lindo Michoacán is the place to be, the one on East Desert Inn in Las Vegas. So listen, I was just there. I took my good friend there and it was packed. And you know what I did? I said, I need to have my chips. I need to have my fideo. And then my friend really wanted to eat some carnitas and their carnitas are the bomb. So we sat at the bar and you can order food at the bar. It was incredible. We had strawberry margaritas. We were living our white woman fantasy, bitch. It was the best. And you know what was even better? If you go to the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in Las Vegas and say that you are a Latinos Who Lunch listeners, they will give you 25% off of your bill. That's right, 25% off. Again, the original Lindo on East Desert Inn, tell them Latinos Who Lunch sent you and they will give you a fatty discount. Lindo Michoacán, save water, drink margaritas.
They thought it was out in front of me, which makes sense. Like, it's another Farfan.
Okay, here we are. Okay, let's do it. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Live from the janitor's closet at the Sugar Hill Children's Museum of Art and Storytelling, we have the one and only Natalie Farfan from the podcast Morado Lens.
Hello. I just came out of the utility room. The whole wardrobe change.
You know? How are you doing?
I am so well, and I'm so happy to meet with you here in New York on the East Coast.
I know. I'm so happy you were able to come over here because I know you're from Jersey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You represent on your podcast all the time, you and Cindy.
Proud and loud. Proud and loud of Jersey, okay? Born and raised, all of us, Latinas. There's a nook in Jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So lucky to have you here in the studio because I know you are a busy bruja. And you are always doing so many things. Mm. First, though, I know our listeners are already familiar with your podcast, Morado Lens, but could you give us, just in case we have any new listeners, a little overview of your show with Cindy?
Yeah, so Morado Lens is a feminist podcast, and we started this as a way to create a safe place to have conversation around women's rights, around, you know, culture and spirituality. And for me, my biggest thing coming into Morado Lens was that initially I had La Brujas Club, which is a community for women, and it was about women of color, LGBTQ community, and it was all about spiritual wellness. So for me, this is an extension of that. But Morado Lens has grown to be much more than just a podcast, I think. It's really become almost like the diary of women. And in a very weird, scary way, it feels almost like Handmaid's Tale. You know, where all these women from different parts of the world are coming together under this platform, whether they came for spirituality, sex, or culture, they're coming together, they're uniting there at Morado Lens, and then they're talking about how are we mobilizing behind the scenes. So to me, that's very telling of not just a podcast, but of telling your story, you know, and some women didn't feel that they were able to tell their story, and they are now, and I think it's great for us. I mean, we're in a very scary time in history.
Yeah, there's been I feel like your podcast has evolved a little bit throughout its existence. And I'm really loving your interview format. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's celebrities. Okay. Like, okay, Evie Queen. I love that you waited on the red carpet until the last minute.
In her boat, in her yacht.
I know, but that's incredible. I mean, that episode is amazing.
Thank you.
And then you're like, I'm going to ask her a question. And you got in a couple questions. That was so good.
The episode became more about, when I was editing it, it became more about the struggle to get the interview, right? Yeah. But it's like, it also shows the power of words, because her 3 to 4 words were so freaking amazing. Yeah. And to me, it's like, it made it a better podcast than most others I've actually heard on Morado Lens.
That's amazing.
Just because the way she said it, I mean, she's a bad bitch. Yeah. I love her.
Speaking of like your experience with the podcast, what is your background? What do you do other than Morado Lens?
So much.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it, girl.
So day to day and the life of this particular bruja entails few different arms. I almost sometimes feel like I have multiple personalities because I'm like, how do I even dive into these different industries from one day to another? So I do a lot of marketing consulting on the side, and I have clients that I deal with. One's like a beer, one's something else, like a lifestyle brand. And ultimately, what I like to do is content development. So I also take freelance work. I'm a huge freelancer on video and digital production. Recently, I did something for Facebook. So I kind of just jump around from consulting a few clients when that comes around and the money's good, and act like an agency, basically, like a creative agency. And then the other side of me is that I'm building content, and not just for Morado Lens. But the bigger move right now that I'm doing, that I'm completely investing most of my time, is my original baby, La Brujas Club.
Yeah.
So that has been, for the last month, it's been my full dedication. And I promised my spirits that I was going to, I guess, finally own it fully. Because I've been having monthly gatherings. The community has grown larger and larger through those book clubs. Yeah. I say book clubs in quotation because that's how it started, but it's become just circles and conversations and deep, deep ancestral healing. So now I'm like, this deserves a marketplace. Mm. And there's only one way to do that, and it's to dedicate myself, because this is full on, you know, online shop, retreats internationally and locally. And this is a fucking movement. Like, yeah. I gotta make La Brujas Club for real. This is not just about the cute T-shirt that says Bruja. I really don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
Plus, there's enough people that have jumped on the bandwagon and trending and are doing these, like, cute. I'm not a cute Bruja. I'm not here to be cute. That's where I differentiate myself. I'm here to talk about the ugly and do some real shadow work with our Brujas. And I guess overcome it with light. You know, as opposed to be the angry Bruja all day long. Like, I just got out of the car coming here. I was listening to Nina Simone. You know, I was like, wow, she was an angry Black woman. Yeah. But, like, she fucking had the right to be, you know. And for her to use music in such a deep way, I need to filter myself. And that's kind of like, I have too much anger in me right now. And I realize that it's because of this political climate. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of white men disregard the problem that's existing right now, especially in my town, in my community, which is why I kind of nudged my husband to run for Board of Ed in Maplewood, you know, because I'm like, dude, do you believe there's never been a person of color on the Board of Education, literally educating kids?
Mm.
And especially people that don't come from privilege like ourselves, you know, like, yeah, we live now in an upper middle class, but we come from very poor towns. You know, we are single mom kids, and English was our second language. So for me, it's like, how do I diffuse this anger with positivity? And I think the best way to do that is continue to tell my story.
Yeah.
Whether it's through La Brujas Club gatherings, and, you know, luckily I've had Marauder Lens be my therapy. It's really been my therapy. When I go and talk with Cindy and these Brujas we always talk to, whether politicians or... We're trying to make everyone a Bruja. So sometimes we interview Brujas and we're like, so are you a Bruja, right? And they're like, not really. And we're like, so you're a Bruja politician? They're like, not really. And we're like, nah, you're a Bruja. But like, really, it's like, are we sisters now? You know, Dolores is gangster though. Dolores, I loved her. Yeah. She's like, esto no terminado aquí. I was like, you go, yes, girl. You still got that energy in you. But it's like, it's the fire of seeing so much injustices, you know? So Natalie Farfan is the umbrella. And though I have Marauder Lens, I have labrujasclub.com that's launching Halloween, Dia de los Muertos time frame. And it's going to be more than just a shop. It really is. It's going to be the resource to decolonize spirituality. Mm. This isn't going to be the next Urban Outfitters. That is the opposite of where I want to go with it. And who's ever down for the ride, let's do it. But ultimately, this is or has become a political movement. Wow. And it wasn't initially.
I know that you come from a long line of Brujas, right?
I would say long enough for me to know, yes, yeah. And grow up. Like my mom's mom, which is my grandma that raised me. Mm-hmm. And from her stories, her mom and her grandma, who happens to be from Peru, she doesn't say often, she's like also Peruvian.
Yeah.
But they were all Brujas. And my grandma got taught the remedies and from her grandmother, who was Peruvian.
Mm-hmm.
And then she passed it down to my mother. My mother took a lot of interest in it and then dived into a whole realm very different from what I do, which is Santeria. Mm. And I think I would say more dark magic than white magic, you know, because there were sacrifices and stuff like that.
And your focus is more white magic?
Totally. Well,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I'm too dark to be fucking with darkness. Like, I'm like... If I go any more dark, I don't know where I might be. I might get lost, you know? Like, you got to understand your demon as a healer. You know what I'm saying? So, no.
That is a great way to put it. You know your power.
You know your power, and yeah. You also know that if you needed the darkness, it's been chilling there, living, ready to get turned on like Netflix, okay? So, it's kind of like, if anything, I'm suppressing that part because it hasn't done the job properly.
Yeah.
And it's my evolution as a Bruja, I'm realizing, like, delivery is everything. And sometimes I came too strong, and sometimes you just have to finesse it, you know? I don't know.
I feel like a lot of people, speaking of suppressing feelings or really beliefs too, is a lot of us have our inner brujo or bruja, like you say on the podcast, and we suppress it because we've been taught, because of colonization, because of...
Catholic shame.
Yeah, just shame.
Yeah.
People don't really tune into that. And I've seen that happen within my own family. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sneaks out once in a while. You're like, what was that? You know? But then it's silenced, like, once again. So,
oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Babelito and I, when we first started Latinos Who Lunch, we used to like roll our eyes at like when people identified as brujas or this movement
we spoke about
is like trendy, right? Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, an Urban Outfitters aesthetic, but it's more than that. And maybe what I want to hear is talking about it in a less abstract way. Like, what do you practice on the daily, or how have you mm-hmm. helped people as a bruja who focuses on
white magic?
White magic, yeah.
Yeah. Well, recently I had, I like to say, you know, sometimes client over patient, because it feels like we're not sick. We're just kind of coming for a service that's going to make us better. And it kind of came from a DM from La Brujas Club. And I get this a lot, and I don't usually provide the service. I direct to the service, which is what labrujasclub.com will eventually be, a resource, a directory to the people near you, depending on what exactly healing you need. But it's going to be a customized experience, right? So recently I took on some of that cleansing work, and what I did was I prepared a baño with herbs, and it was for overall cleansing. I asked a young lady to wear a red bracelet, which, if you can see right now, I don't have one. It recently broke on me after like 4 years of having. So it's so funny that we're here talking about it. And I told her, so when I looked down to tell her, wear your red bracelet on your receiving hand, in this case was the left. This was like 2 days ago. I finished the consulta with her, mm-hmm. and it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes when you give, energy kind of gets out. You got to reset the button. For me, I do a lot of chanting. And I'm talking about, it doesn't have to be like some Buddhist Indian language. Sometimes I straight up just do vocals. And it's not like, I'm not a singer, by the way. It's really bad as far as pitch goes. But that's what I do to get it out of my system as far as like stress and anxiety goes. That is some of the work that I do. Sometimes I tell brujas that I move a lot. I dance. That's another big part of my light work. And every day I burn some sort of herb. Usually it's sage or Palo Santo. But I also burn some cedar, which is really, really good for like neutralizing and bringing in like inspiration, because it opens you up. And as a creative, I always want that inspiration. But that's some of the stuff, and something that people don't really talk about, but doing light work is actually nutrition. You know, when you ingest a lot of meats, for example, on a consistent basis, your body's working much harder to fight that. It's just the human anatomy. When you're fighting a lot of grease and fat or bad things that are MSG, or in our case, I love adobo. Like, I season with fucking adobo still. My fish still gets adobo. I'm like, I might be a vegetarian, pescatarian, but I'm still going to get adobo. Mm-hmm. But it's like those things are not. So if you're going through a dark time in your life, I actually say you need a cleansing. Lots of teas, lots of fruits, and less on the heavy stuff for that week as you cleanse. There's a reason why people do fast. Throughout religions, there's fasting. You know, it's bigger purpose is more than Jesus rising. That's the thing. We've lost the spiritual meaning of a lot of these rituals. And they exist throughout religions. It's not just the hippie that wants to, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally, if you go across any religion, there is fasting involved. And that goes back to nutrition, you know? And then when you do eat, you have to eat certain things only during that time. I don't think that, like, even for Catholicism, I know that during Easter, there's, like, the fasting period, and you only could eat fish or light stuff.
Yeah, no red meat.
They never explain why. Mm. You know, they say because of Jesus, a sacrificio. But it's like, no, but it's deeper than that. It's like, we have spirit conversation. We have a relationship with food, and our body is our temple, and how are we feeding it? Whether it's with Palo Santo, meditation, or nutrition, all those three things play a big part of your building. Oh, I left the book in the car. But Women Who Glows in the Dark, all your listeners should absolutely check that out.
Yes.
She's an amazing woman, Mexicana, I believe, PhD, mm-hmm. You know, so professional therapist, and decided that after doing so much Western therapy, she started to realize that a lot of her patients kept coming back, or clients kept coming back with diseases that were already taken care of. And she realized, like, all these medications are giving people, hence nutrition, is actually killing their spirit, and they're not understanding where they're going. So she tries to eliminate some of that and give you she's a curandera. So she used Western with her ancestral medicine and tools to help her therapist, you know, which is hard to find, but her book is so amazing. And she talks about Aztec there's something in Aztec literature, and it says that it's like rest, sleep, and nutrition are the three important parts. And they're the first people to have created 100%, like what 100% even meant, right? Mm. And they broke down how much percentage of each you should be having. And rest was huge. Like rest was like 50-something percent you should have in of rest. So yeah. Most people who are insomniacs, who don't sleep enough, who are anxious and can't sleep like a full 6 to 8 hours or whatever it is that you need, smoke some weed, first of all. But second of all,
amen. You know what I'm saying? That's how I fall asleep now. There's too much in the world. My brain does not stop running. And
same,
like
same.
The past, I mean, in Las Vegas, thankfully, Vegas, weed is decriminalized now. Oh, and it's God. Like, I have a local dispensary I can go to. And I was like, girl, I need something to knock me the fuck out.
But it's true, but it's medicine.
It's been amazing. It is medicine.
And, you know, cannabis, and, you know, yeah. I'm going to even take away the word weed or marijuana because right. That's a colonized term. It's cannabis. Yes, it's an herb. Right. It's part of ancestral history.
Yeah.
And dude, it helps with a lot of different remedies. CBD for those people who maybe are too anti-feeling the psychoactive part mm-hmm. of cannabis, because CBD kind of, you don't feel that. But yeah, these are all things that I give people as like light work, which sounds really basic. But my thing's like, if you can't even get those things right, how can you go on to the deeper one where you're about to see demons? And that's called shadow work. And it's going to be all the ugly that you have. And we all have ugly.
Shadow work.
Yeah, shadow work is absolutely necessary.
Interesting.
Light work is beautiful, but everyone needs to do shadow work. It's the balance of both.
Going back to sleep, I mean, I'm an artist that's always busy, always doing something. And that is the one thing that I make sure. It's like, I need at least 6 hours of sleep. Because if I don't, I feel it. And yep. It's like a hangover, like without even drinking.
You're just groggy. You know?
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, even the fittest people, like that go to the gym every day, if they don't get enough sleep, like they end up having heart attacks. Like it's incredible what mm-hmm. that can do. Yeah.
So rest, hydration, nutrition, mm-hmm. all part of like what makes our healthy person, like spiritually and physically. Woman who glows in the dark, it's like I'm like live by it right now.
Yeah.
I read it already twice.
How long have you been practicing? Were you from a very young age doing this kind of stuff?
Not by choice.
Okay.
So I say that because my mom used to literally force me to botanicas every weekend and take me to these places in Queens that probably still exist and in the Bronx as well. And it was like brujo houses. And it was like all these santeros, and they were like basically festivities or ritual practices, and they all came together. I think they were part of like a congregation. I don't really know. I just know that it was like massive amounts of people, guys and girls, all older. And it was like animals being sacrificed, a lot of incense being burned, a lot of chanting and like music,
yeah,
like drums and stuff. And I always felt scared. And so my mom would make me go through the process because she felt like I had to become like a mini her. And one time she gave me a bracelet that was supposedly for protection, and it was part of that Santeria stuff. And I remember hating that I had to wear it. And she went to work one day, and I remember throwing that out and telling God to please save me from the devil. Literally Dios what I said. And I freaking threw that so far out the window. And then I told my mom, when she got there, I was so scared that she would hit me, because my mom was like, she would hit me. And I'm like, mom, it like broke. And she's like, ay, no te preocupes. Eso quiere decir que lo malo se recogió con la pulsera. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So there was that. There was that I was very not, you know, I was opposed to that.
Yeah.
But when my mom, she passed in 98, I was 15. And I remember her asking the priest to come and remove her of her sins and her practice with Santeria. And she actually gave all her bracelets and her altar back to the guy that had, el padrino, that had curado her. So wow. I saw that whole thing happen. I remember being like, she was being shamed and she was being told by the family to please give those back before she dies. If she wanted to go to heaven.
Wow.
And so she did. And so when she passed away, it took a long time for me to want to capture that essence of me as a bruja. And I was probably mourning anyway, so I really didn't care. I was just like rebelling. So being a bruja I was so far from that. I was not in touch with my spirituality at that moment. I think I was very lost spiritually for a while. And I was in a very toxic relationship in my first years of college. So I think it was shortly after that something hit me, and I was like, something's going on. I haven't touched space with my mother. Yeah. That's what it was. It was like 5 to 8 years. And I remember like not trying to think about my mom, barely going to the cemetery, not having conversations with her. And one day I'm just like, I've been ignoring tapping into my mother because I'm still in pain. And when I chose that day to tap into her, and by that I mean pray to her and do an altar for her and do a little awa, copa de awa, and all that ritualness of tapping into the spirit, is when I think I found it was like, okay, I'm home now. Like, yeah. I know how to do this. And I kind of been denying it because I was like scared and mourning, you know? I think a little bit of both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that you have a really beautiful, funny son. I see him on social media.
He is so silly.
He is so funny. He cracks me up.
He's an artist, by the way.
Oh, my God.
You got to see my wall. Yeah, like on his own.
You got to send me pictures.
I will send you pictures of it. Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching him these ways? Like, did you learn from your mom maybe like what not, like how not to freak him out? Or,
well, for one thing, I don't hit my son because I feel like my mom was way too aggressive with me and violent. And that just created a very like, yeah, I'm ready for the apocalypse. Like, I'm your girl. I am.
I'm prepared.
I'm there.
My mom prepared me.
You know, but like day to day and how to maneuver in life without like that like anxious kind of thing. Like, no, my mom was very, she was A type. She was a hard worker. She was a government worker. And she was, I want to say, más mujer que madre. And that's just the cards that I was dealt. So for my son, I'm like the opposite. And I'm always hugging him. Oh, I'm always hugging him. I'm like, you must be hugged and loved every day.
Oh.
So yeah, I do that.
I love that. Well, Natalie, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For spending, for coming uptown.
Hello.
For heading over here and spending some time with me. I know that our Latinos Who Lunch listeners are going to be so happy to hear your voice on our podcast. We're always happy to support our fellow Latinx brujas.
There you go. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And it was nice to kind of have an interview this time on just like my craziness on the side of Morado. Because Morado is just one part of so much craziness. But gracias. I appreciate it.
I love you and I love your energy. And can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Well, my personal one is at Natalie Farfan, NathaliE Farfan, FARFAN. I would love people to follow at La Brujas Club, LA Brujas, BRUJAS Club. If you're looking for a spiritual journey and, you know, Morado Lens, if you, to tap into a hot ass podcast about all things women, really. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Gracias, gracias, Natalie. You are so amazing. I'm so glad that we got to connect while I was in New York. I know I missed you in Las Vegas, girl, but I'm going back to New York soon, so hopefully we can see each other again. Anyway, again, check out Morado Lens. Check out Natalie's Instagram. You know, she gave you all the info. You got it. Okay. Now it's time for recommendations, and, you know, it's just me today. Babalito's taking a break this week, and I haven't had time to listen to podcasts. Now, I love listening to podcasts while I work in the studio, but my last projects have been so big that I really haven't been able to just plug in because I have so many people working in the studio with me that it's kind of rude for me to get on my headphones, you know? So I have to recommend a few things that I want to watch, but I haven't been able to because I'm so fucking busy. I have been able to listen to Lizzo's album, Because I Love You. Fuck yeah. I love you, Lizzo. Thank you for that. If you haven't heard that album, it is amazing. I've heard Beyonce's Homecoming album, the live album. It's really good. I haven't been able to watch the whole documentary yet, but I cannot wait to do that. Also, last week, this documentary came out on PBS called State of the Art, which was about artists from this big art show at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Arkansas. And they followed 7 out of like 100 and something artists that were in the show. And I was one of those artists that they followed around in film. So this documentary was shot, like I said, years ago, and I'm recommending it, but I'm also a little weary of recommending it because the shit that I was saying back then compared to the way that I talk about my art now is completely different. So one, I haven't watched it yet, and I think it's because I don't like to watch myself on screen, and that's something that I'm working on. I need to get over. I work through listening to my own voice because I have to edit these goddamn episodes. So I think if I could do that, I could get over like watching myself on screen. You know, the self-hate, y'all, it runs deep. It runs real deep. But I'm actually going to work on an art project this year that confronts that, because I'm just tired of hate watching, not hate watching, but just like not being able to see myself on screen or not liking pictures of myself. It's a whole thing. Anyway, that's one thing. But then, y'all, the shit I was saying back in the day, 5-6 years ago, about my art was wild. I mentioned on the podcast before that a lot of the work that I was making back in the day was basically for white people. So this documentary, they filmed me in this time where I was like transitioning from making art for white people to making art about myself and for myself and my family. So I'm like a little bit embarrassed even just to think about the shit that I might have said on this documentary. But all that to say, I think that if you guys want to see me before I was Favi Fav of Latinos Who Lunch, to see what I was up to, see what I was doing, definitely check this documentary out. As I said, it's called State of the Art. It's on PBS. If you don't have TV, you can download the PBS app, and it's one of the featured films on the PBS app that you can watch. So I recommend that. Let me know what you think. I'm going to watch it this week too. Okay. If you guys are in New York this week, hit me up. I will be... Okay, don't really hit me up. I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to be on vacation. But... I'm sending mixed signals. I'm so sorry. That's the story of my life. Okay, I'm going to be in New York. And one of the main reasons is that on May 4th, this Saturday, May 4th, from 6 to 9 p.m., I'm going to an art opening. I'm part of a group show called Latinx, curated by Cristina Ferrigno, or Cristina Ferrigno, depending on who's saying it. And it's a big group show. It's awesome. You might have heard of Jasmine Chavez Helm from Unravel Podcast. She's actually in it. My good friend Francisco Donoso, who I just collaborated with for the Believer Festival. Shout out to him. He's in the show. Sharon Lee de la Cruz, Leanne Bosque, Maria Leivana, Guara Guara La Cuchara. There's so many people in it. I'm so excited to be there. The show is up at La Bodega Gallery, one more time, 605 Fifth Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. See you there. And y'all, I might have a special guest with me. She's from a podcast that is very near and dear to our hearts here at Latinos Who Lunch, called De Colores Radio. She is one of the hosts of De Colores Radio. Her name is Eva Regin. She will also be with me that night. So if you want to come meet us, stop by La Bodega Gallery on May 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. All right, I'm going to stop talking now because I got to catch a flight. Okay, as always, visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read them on a future episode. If you have a moment, please, please, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars. 5 stars only, because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people. All right. The music you're hearing right now is by the band Brownout. I'm Favi Fav. Bye-bye.